The wonder organ is not about Cephas, Apollos, or Paul. No, it's about himself. You see, I follow Apollos, you know. I follow Paul. I follow Cephas. I follow Christ. I'm better than any of you. You see, the root of their division is not about giftedness. It's not about who they're following. It's all about themselves. You see the little idol there in their lives, in the church of Corinth? You see the idol? They're Christians. In Christians, if we look around the world, we see a lot of Christians. They don't know there's a bottom line that the human hearts, including the Christian hearts, are idol factories. We create our own idols subconsciously. Subconsciously. Even we, sometimes we wouldn't even notice it. The idol will just poof, come out here and there, whenever, wherever. It just comes out so easily, you know. Here and there, I have this, I have that. Sooner or later, I mean, find with, who am I again? Am I a Christian? Am I not? So this morning, actually, I was planning to say something else, but things just come out. Things just come out. I mean, according to my plan, I have a manuscript written out. I was trying to just breathe through it, but God just called me saying, what are the idols in your hearts this morning? Now, if we don't take care of that business, I'm telling you, you'll fail all the business. You see, from this scripture passage, we know that God is in the business of building his people. We are his building. God is trying to build us personally and corporately. Now, God, in God's design, he's a mass builder for sure. In God's design, that we have to be united as one in Christ. And if that foundation lost because of our idols in our hearts, then who's going to be able to go through the testing fire? The fire that will burn up everything or anything that is impure, that is selfish, that is man-centered, that is serving our own idols. Those are the things that God will burn up completely. Imagine in the kingdom of God one day when everybody, you know, everybody dressed in white, holding a reward because of their faithful serving, and everybody is crying out to God, praise God, Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords, and everybody is so cheerful, and then somebody says, hold on. Something's burning. Something's burning. You look around and see, what happened to this guy? I mean, you see, his clothes is just got burned up. You see the scorching marks even on his face. You see, my goodness, this guy's eyes is smoking. And his hair was all spiked up and stuff. Isn't that a nice picture? Who wants to be that kind of guy? Who wants to be that kind of guy? But if we don't pay attention to our heart, if we don't pay attention to our motive here and now, I'm telling you, it could be you. It could be you. I know for sure that the one who will hold higher position in church or in serving will be judged, with a higher standard. Of course, the reward will be maybe bigger. I don't know. It depends. But there will be a higher standard for those, who are holding a higher position in serving. And by that day, I would say, God will first give us examples, good or bad examples of the leaders in the kingdom of God. So there will be a stricter standard for the leaders in the church, in the kingdom of God. God will judge us even more. That's why Paul was always in fear and in trembling, because he knows what he will go through. A lot of times we see that in the modern day church, or even in the whole world, that God's judgment, it didn't just start in the kingdom of God. It started even here. Not one day that I was watching TV and I saw this crazy show about a rabbi in a Jewish congregation and show up in an interview set up for child molest or online or internet pornography and all that stuff. A rabbi. That's I'm not saying he's a Christian, but I'm saying he's a religious leader. But he showed up in that show and waiting and trying to have a good time with a little boy. And this morning, when I opened up the newspaper, I saw a congressman having that kind of email with some boy. And he's going to go through the criminal justice system. I said, way to go. Judgment. Even on this day. And then, about 7 or 6 years ago, while I was still a lab technician working in a research lab, I heard this shocking news about the President of the United States. President of the United States doing crazy things in his office. I was so shocked. I mean, during his installation ceremony, I was there on the Capitol Hill because I was working in Georgetown Medical Center. So I took a trip to the Capitol Hill. I saw him laying down his hand on the Holy Bible saying he will be faithful to the calling, to the work that God and the whole country entrusted in him. And then several years later, I hear this guy, the guy that laid down his hand on the Bible, doing that kind of thing in his office. Judgment on that day. God is always in the business of purifying his people. Always. God is a holy God. He cannot stand serious sins in our lives. He cannot stand idols in our hearts. He will not let us go away. He's always pursuing us. He's always asking us, are you serving God and God alone? And if you are serving God and God alone, what kind of life are you living? You cannot serve God with what we say here, gold, silver, or precious stone. You cannot serve God with gold, silver, precious stone, at the same time living a life of wood, hay, and straw. You know, those things are very in big contrast to each other. Gold, silver, precious stone, those are pure. Those are precious. Those are heavy. On the other hand, we have wood, hay, and straw. Those are light. Those you put on the water, they will drift away. They will drift away. It will not stay. And when those things, they go through the firing, guess what's going to be surviving? The gold, silver, and precious stone. So we need to build our life first. Before we say, well, I want to serve God here and there. We want to build our life, purify our life, live a holy life, live a life that is testable. A life that has the quality, that is able to pass the quality control. You know, if you ever be a building builder or a oversee a building process, the quality control is of great importance. Great importance. Back into 2000, when I was still in the seminary, 2 years, second year in the seminary, I took a trip back to China. Back then, China has changed a lot. I mean, everybody is building something, either highway or my way or buildings or anything, business, anything, everything. The whole country was after a golden calf. Money, 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 power, power, power. The little G's, it's so obvious everywhere. I look around, I see idols in people's hearts, idols in people's lives, idols in the whole country. I see, my goodness, this is judgment. I don't see this as economic reform or whatever, modernization. I see judgment. Because in the book of Romans, another kind of judgment from God is God just allow those people to have their ways. God just allow them to go their own way. Go after your gods. Go after your idols. And have it to the full. Judgment in a different kind of way. So as Christians, as we are serving God, we are living our lives every day. We face a corrupted world. We face struggles every day. You turn on the TV, you turn on the internet, you open the magazines, what do you see? A whole world after gods, after idols. And we are here to make a difference, to tell them that there will be a testing fire in the future. There will be a kingdom of God in the future that is totally based on a very different value system. And what kind of value system are we talking about? That in the kingdom of God, God will look at our foundation of life. It says here, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I lay a foundation. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? We know for sure that it's crucial for building to have a very firm and solid foundation. Otherwise, the whole building will just collapse. But for us, for a church, the foundation is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. That means everything we do here is for one purpose. It is to glorify Jesus as Christ. It is to hail that Jesus is God. The capital God. The God of our lives. The Lord of our lives. That's the whole purpose of our living. Of our serving. As a church, when people come into our lives or come into the church life, do people see Jesus as Christ through our lives? If people see, oh, they're having a good time, or they're building their own buildings, they're having their own little thing thereafter. How can people see that Jesus is Christ? Now, to magnify Jesus as Christ, we have to be His servant. We have to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves. There's no Christ. There's no capital letter God if we think we're a God. You see, you cannot be God and serve God at the same time. You know what I'm saying? You can't. It won't work. We have to realize that we are servants. Just as Paul says in verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants! Through whom you believe that the Lord assigned to each. Just servants. Servants. How more? That's our starting point in serving. We're just servants. You know, God is working through us. God is a master builder. God is always at work building us His people. And what we do, we join His work. We humble ourselves to His plan. We submit ourselves to His plan. But being a servant doesn't mean being a servant also means you need to put in your best. And the work of gold, silver, and precious stone also means, not only means pure, but also the best. The best. Putting out your best in serving God. Another thing that is very important in serving God is that we need to have a vision. We need to have a vision. A vision that is different from a company's vision. You know, you go out to a company, you go out to any organization, they will have a mission statement. They will have a vision. Even you go to a public park, a little park, you know, along the road of Stelling, there's a little park. And they have a plaque, you know, in the wall saying, our vision is so and so. Even a little park has a vision. Little park. Even a little company has a vision. Even a little public organization has a vision. But what's the vision for a whole church? There got to be something beyond that. Beyond the world can offer. It says here in verse 22. Oh, in verse 21, actually. For all things are yours. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ. And Christ is God. That's our vision. Bottom line, that's our vision. All are yours. That means that in the kingdom of God, that God will give everything still under the ruling of human being. Of course, He's God. forever. But in the kingdom of God, all are yours. All are yours. That means we need to serve out of that kind of ownership of the whole world and the world to come. Not just as servant. As servant, you need humble, but as heirs of the kingdom of God, we have this hope, this assurance, this victory, this blessing, this joy, that world to come belongs to me. You know, all are yours. That means belongs to you. It belongs to you right now. It already belongs to you. So my prayer today will be that God will open our eyes, that we'll be able to see that the kingdom of God actually belongs to us. We belong over there. Our life, our destiny, our everything, our reward. We belong there. Because we belong there, we can live a different life here. It's all belong there. It doesn't matter if I am successful or not in this world. It doesn't matter how much money I earn in this world. It doesn't matter what kind of position I'm having in this world. Because in that world, the world to come, all things are mine. All things. Everything. What kind of glory would that be? In comparing to the glory, a little glory we see here, you see the difference? That should be our vision of doing everything. Living as if we're there. Relating to others as if we're there. Serving God as if we're there already. Now there are five goals in this church. We have five banners over there. Right? And the fourth one is serving. You can say we can serve through worship. We can serve through teaching. We can serve through caring. We can serve through outreaching. But all those things won't make any sense if we serve for ourselves. All of those, anything you're working on, anything, if it's for here, it won't make any sense. But if it is for there, if it is for the there and then I guarantee you will serve with joy for the here and now. You'll be able to serve with a vision, serve with passion, serve with certainty that one day your serving will be rewarded. Let's bow down and pray. Heavenly Father, take away our idols. Heavenly Father, take away our idols so that we may serve you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.